Hello, everybody, to another week of Horror Movie News, episode 27. This week, we're going to be talking about movies, of course. The Shape, it's got a new mask. We're going to compare. We got a little picture for you, as well as our interview with Josh and Sierra Russell from Russell FX. It was Ollie and I went and joined them, and we did a little interview that we recorded, edited down, and we're going to roll it to end our show with. So all that and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Don't you blame the movies!
Don't ever blame
movies. Movies make psychos more creative!
No lights today, but that's okay. Also, we're in a new place.
Yay!
Yeah, because I figured, you know, what horror needs? Some beautiful colors.
Yeah, no, sure. horror needs it changes things up on you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. There you go. Because horror movies are getting prettier, I believe.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's get down straight to business. Hello, everybody. My name is Anthony Becerra.
And my name's Carrie Lane.
Hey guys, I'm Oliver Drennan.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon.
And Lucretia's back, everybody.
Yay!
Oh, and you're back because Legends ended.
Yes.
Yeah. Right on. Great to have you back, Lucretia. Always a pleasure. Let's do some quick crypt keeping. Yeah, we called it crypt keeping. So, since you haven't been here,
yeah, so I like that.
Yeah, right. Gonna clean it up a bit. So, pretty much, where you can find this: youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. That's our official YouTube page, as well channel, as well as our show Twitter at horrornewsptn. And also popcorntalknetwork.com. And finally, but not least, we have Apple Podcasts, where you can leave a 5-star rating and tell us, leave us a comment about how you like our show, or what we can improve, or what you want to hear from our show, pretty much. And we all would always take in considerations. And yeah. So go do all that good stuff. So let's get right into it. The Abyss. So what's good?
I feel the Abyss and Crypt will be kind of combined. I don't know. This week I just didn't seem to watch a lot of movies. I mean, like, I did see Rampage, which it's not really horror, but it's giant monsters.
Yeah.
Yes.
It counts.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, it was fun, and it's exactly what you expect. It's a popcorn movie based on video game, which is funny. Some people didn't know it's a game. I don't know. Do you guys ever play that game?
I had to be reminded that it was a game. I'm like, oh, wait, yeah. It was an arcade game, right?
Yeah. Like an arcade. So. I totally remember spending plenty of time playing that. And it is. It's giant monsters. Destroying things, so that's exactly what you want. So that's cool. So Isle of Dogs.
Ooh, nice.
I liked it. That was pretty cool.
I enjoyed that movie, yeah. Did you hear about the rumor about Isle of Dogs?
I'm just kidding. I'm like, what? Oh, that's in the thing. No, that was funny. That was a good gag. And I have one more episode of Jessica Jones to go. Finish Altered Carbon. I do still recommend that show. I think it's a show where it's like really, really great buildup, but the ending semi-plateaus. I still highly recommend it. It explores some great concepts. Like the basic thing that I love about it is who you are on the outside, your sex, your physicality really matter if you can swap bodies. Like right now you can be in anybody else's body. Does your identity really matter? And they really explore it, which I like, because it's not just like they put it out there and don't do anything with it.
Right.
And then also the idea of essentially moving all of who you are into a new body. I think that's really cool, because they explore it. Too many other movies, they kind of like mention it, but they don't really get it.
Right, yeah.
So it's a really good show. Altered Carbon on Netflix.
Altered Carbon.
Nice, nice. Yeah, it's a very dry week for me as well. Let's see. Brotherhood, Full Metal Alchemist. I haven't seen it. Started it. Part two. We're going to talk about it next. I did watch Quiet Place again.
Oh, again?
Nice. Yeah. Again,
it was
huh?
so good.
Did you go with new people?
Yeah, I went with one of my best friends, and she hadn't seen it, obviously.
Oh, fun.
And it was cool because I got to relive all that stress, all that anxiety that the film you experience when you first watched it. And so she really loved it, and it was cool because you also notice new things throughout the film. Like, I didn't even notice in the beginning when he's on top of the water, or not the water tower, but the tower, and you see he, like, lights a flame, and you see, like, the flame. Like, I don't know why I didn't remember that. So there's other people in the woods, so it was really
hence
cool.
Hence the old man later on.
Yeah, so it just kind of makes you also just kind of think more about the world that they're in, and obviously.
I gotta know, during the movie, did you sit there and be like, look at her and wait for reactions? And I was like, did you kind of be like,
well, definitely the nail scene. I'm like, I wonder how she's going to react for this nail scene. And just the ending, I got really excited for her. Just being able to live vicariously through her enjoyment. So
that's awesome.
go see Quiet Place now.
I didn't realize how like passionate I was about it and how much I liked it until someone said, "Yeah, it's a horrible movie," and I was like,
"What?
What?"
I immediately. No. My immediate response was so emotional. It's like, "I hate you." I don't care about your opinion.
Yeah, like one of my quotes was even used in a promo because I got to go see an early screening, and then it was just like, I'm not scared by movies at all, and this even bothered me. Just the way that it was done was so good.
Yes.
And that's the thing is, I mean, I went with some people, and, like, they were like, it's a good movie, but, and I was like, no, but, like, okay, like, I love how some people will try to find problems with movies like that, and I'm like, no, A Quiet Place is just a good movie. It's fine if you want to make jokes, like, they were trying to be quiet. Why is she pregnant? Like, it's fine to make those joints.
Oh, my God.
It was so perfect.
Good call.
But, yeah, like, that was my one thing. But I'm like, as a joke, I kept making that. But I'm like, it's because of emotional stakes, people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's such a good film.
I just think people who don't like the film are kind of people who are just so, like, they don't have good attention spans.
Yes.
You know? They want to be like, wow. They want like noise. They want dialogue. And it's like, it's not all about that in a film. Like, film started out as silent films. Mm-hmm. And so my response to people who say this film is horrible, no comment.
I'll cut you.
Yeah. It's not for you.
And you know what else is a good film?
Good movies aren't good for, for you. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. We're so salty.
Too good for you. Yeah.
You know what else is a good film that if you don't like it, there's probably something wrong with you? It's called Super Troopers. And they made the sequel just for us fans, as in everyone in the world who doesn't take themselves too seriously. And that is what I saw this week, for 420. And then I did my 420 movie marathon, which I guess included Sharknado. That's kind of horrible. But,
yeah.
Half-baked in this?
Yeah. No, like, that was the thing.
That's my classic right there.
That was me. I was like, half-baked, bong water guys, what do you want to watch? And then it was like, Sharknado? I'm like, that wasn't an option, but okay, yeah. All right. I've got that.
Was it more enjoyable with assistance?
Oh, big time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's certain movies that I feel, I'm like, I feel I would enjoy this movie or this experience better if I was intoxicated or high, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
Certain things just get a little better.
Apparently, there was not enough for everybody to enjoy Run, Ronnie, Run, but hey, they were like, we've never seen this stoner movie. Run, Ronnie, Run. It is the Mr. Show movie. So, Mr. Show with Bob and David Cross, Bob Odenkirk, their character from the show, Ronnie Dobbs, who is known for getting arrested. There was a whole movie based on this character, but even they don't like it, but I love it. But apparently, it is an acquired taste, because I think everyone thinks I'm dumb now.
Oh, no. I have a quick question for Super Troopers 2. I'm pretty sure I saw the first one, and I don't remember loving it, but it's just one of those... Humor is so, totally subjective. Yeah. But did you, as a fan, enjoy the second one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
like,
cool.
They definitely serve fans, and, like, I'm a big fan of Broken Lizard, and this movie is especially close to my heart because one of the few things that, when I first moved to Hollywood that was so cool is the comedy club I worked at, West Side Comedy in Santa Monica, guys. Check it out in the promenade. But yeah, like, one day I just went in and not knowing what was going on, like, Mac and Farva are there. Steve Lemay and Kevin Lefferman. Like, they have real names, but they're Mac and Farva to me. They were there to announce Super Troopers 2. And this was, like, 4 years ago. So it was kind of cool that, you know, to kind of come in. And I was like, I got to meet them. And, like, I was like, this is one of the first things I did was just get to be there in random happenstance. Because I was a big fan of the first one. Mm-hmm. And this whole movie, I mean, they crowdfunded it and everything. They really service fans and still made a good film. I mean, Rob Lowe is in it. He's great.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer's
fun and interesting.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Canada jokes, which I love Canada and Canadians, I was like, oh, good, I get all these.
The Mountie police.
Yeah. Nice. Mounties.
And it made, like, around, what, 16 million, I believe?
Yeah, it did pretty well. Good, they were surprised, and at least that means Frank didn't have to go see it for box office breakdown. I was like, don't worry, we got you, buddy. Lex and I went to see it.
Nice. Yeah, I think I was the one that lost on that one. I gotta go watch that.
Yeah. Well, it's not a punishment. It's a great
And I wasn't able to catch it this weekend or virtually anything because I didn't even. Well, I did see Low Life, and I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it, and also Russell Effects.
Low Life. That's the dude from. I'm like, wait, who's that? Never mind. I'm thinking of a different movie. Damn, I got so excited. Like, wait, that's the thing. No, there's one. It's the guy who plays Magneto in the young X-Men.
Michael Fassbender, yeah.
It's not Low Life. He's in something called, like...
The Snowman?
Nope. Look it up. Just kidding.
Is it that one sex movie?
No, he's okay. Like...
I want to see that
one
movie.
One sex movie?
Yeah,
sex
it's like there's like what? A movie where like, he has a lot of sex.
I wanna see that. Oh, man, now I want to see that. I'm like, Michael Fassbender naked?
Yeah,
all right.
It's like a, it's
oh,
very,
no,
like,
not... My brain's all kinds of off. All right,
so,
the other one.
So it's not making Michael Fassbender.
No.
It was released this year, but it was like very select theaters. But it is on Amazon, and I rented it, and that's how I saw it. Directed by Ryan Prowse. And a synopsis is the sordid lives of an addict, an ex-con, and a luchador collide when an organ harvesting caper goes very, very wrong. And it stars Nicki Michaud, Ricardo Zarate, John Oswald, and Mark Burnham. And... yeah, that was really cool. It takes place all in L.A. A lot of people compare it to Pulp Fiction. I think mainly because of how like the storyline is like assembled, as in like
everyone
and
has,
the way
like,
it's shot too. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Does everyone have like their own story kind of?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. It's like it's made of vignettes, and they all have a title card. Like I think it starts off like there's one that's criminals. There's one that's like thugs. There's another,
cool.
Yeah. So it's like. Yeah, and it's all leading up to something, and so it's pretty cool once you get to that climax. But that's pretty much what I saw, and I saw it because Russell FX actually worked on the effects for that.
Cool.
I thought it was really cool. But other than that, I didn't really see anything else.
I feel we actually all saw a lot. We're like, yeah, we didn't see anything. We all talked about something.
We saw, yeah.
So anyway, sorry. To clarify, the guy, I don't know why I got excited.
Oh, James McAvoy, my
James
boy.
James McAvoy, he's in a movie called Phil.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
So, it's very
this
bizarre.
So good. No,
wait,
it's not. It's
here,
not,
wait, we'll talk.
It's not
maybe
that would
be
it
my
quick
recommendation
but,
because it's...
Yeah, let that be your
it's, it has to do with, like, male masculinity. That's
okay,
what the
well,
whole
I'm
film is about.
Here, wait. I'll use that as my thing then.
Okay.
I'll transition
yeah,
us
okay,
into Crypt.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You're
no,
like, what
I'm
is
already.
It?
I'm really passionate.
You're like, what is
this? I studied.
Okay,
I kind of studied like that.
It's a comedy and it's a crime drama. And I only put it in the category of horror because a lot of it is like mental of like what's going on in
it's
his
horrifying.
Mind, and you don't really know what's going on. Because somebody on Twitter was like, "Oh, I love his movies." I'm like, "You need to see him in Filth. It's very odd." So, a corrupt junkie cop with bipolar disorder attempts to manipulate his way through a promotion in order to win back his wife and daughter while also fighting his own borderline fueled inner demons. So, I mean, it's not like horror, but it's still like, you know, I think we could still put in the category of like people going into your own mind and your own inner demons as like a category. And just some of the stuff he does is just bizarre. And he's very violent and evil. And it's by directors John S. Bard, I think.
I don't think it's, well, I mean, I guess it is really bizarre, but I think it all stems from his own.
A lot of it's in his own mind and, like, his own issues. But it's good, but if you want to see James McAvoy in a very different kind of role, that's why I would highly recommend it. It's just very, it's different. I don't know. You know, you're all excited.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
Yeah, he also did, like, the Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, if you guys ever seen that. And there's like three movies to that or something. It's like a weird, like, I don't know what. Cause
is it
like
a Beatles?
I don't know. I forgot what it's. I don't know exactly what it is. I've been wanting to watch it for a while, but I know it's like his story, then it's her story, and then it's like their story like, together.
Okay.
And it's like three different features, I believe.
Well, it's just him going crazy in Filth.
But yeah, Filth is definitely. I would say that's a acquired taste. Too.
Yes.
Yeah. But I really
enjoyed
that movie.
And that's why I would recommend it.
Yeah, so, I really like that movie.
Yeah, and too, like, that can be sort of a horror category, because I know a mutual friend of all of ours, Lex, I went to a movie, you know, a few weeks ago that was done by his friend, Xander Robin, Are We Not Cats? And it was basically people eating their own hair, like having trichotillomania, pulling
gross.
Out your hair and eating it.
Oh, wow.
Like, which, it was, like, disgusting, but that was,
that
it's
be
like a
horror.
Body horror. Like,
yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, it was pretty good. Even my mom happened to be here, and she goes, huh, I was expecting a student film. This is actually pretty good. So that's advice from an older woman. You know, that's definitely a movie you guys should check out. Are We Not Cats by Xander Robin. Yeah.
Yeah,
you look like
a,
you have a question.
No. That literally just reminded me of a K-horror about a hair. It's called Hair, I think. And it's like, I don't know. I wonder if you ever saw it or heard of it. But there's like something that has to do with hair and like how hair comes out of your mouth. And so, I mean, horror is a very acquired taste.
Yeah.
Are we on our next segment? I can't even.
Yeah,
I think we're on the Crypt.
Filth was my Crypt recommendation then because I'm like, yeah, it's a weird one that I would recommend. If it's just because we recommend stuff you all probably haven't heard about or seen. So
well. Well, Lucretia reminded me also of, because she brought up Sharknado, and yeah. I would like to recommend a great movie that I didn't watch on 420, but it's called Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
But you should have watched it on 420.
That would have been perfect.
I actually forgot the movie existed. It stars freaking Debbie Gibson, and it was on Sci-Fi. So is this a perfect movie for 420, or just if you want to get stoned on your own time and just go ahead and watch
it? I do that every weekend, guys. So.
There's a scene where a mega shark jumps out of the water and takes down an airplane.
That sounds awesome.
Watch the film.
Wow. Sharks versus airplanes is, you know, the making of all sci-fi films and how they should be.
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about? Yeah.
Well, sci-fi That's and incredible. Horror fun blends yeah. together. I'm looking up. Have you guys actually, speaking of giant sharks, do you guys know about the new sci-fi movie with its new Lake Placid movie that's going to be coming out?
No. Yes, like it's going to scare the shit out of me.
Lake Placid Legacy. And I only know about that for all those Winona Earp fans out there, which that's Supernatural, so that's a horror show. Oh. Tim Rosen's in it, and Kat, who plays in that show, she's in it as well.
Yeah.
So a few people.
And it premieres on Memorial Day, so, like, I'll probably be doing something to go with this, because Lake Placid and the Birds are two of the only movies that have ever scared me,
really?
And that's because alligators are a real threat when you're from East Texas, folks.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
That's why I say they're way scarier than sharks, because sharks, you have to actually be in the ocean, or unless it's Sharknado, but with alligators, where I live, they were on land and sea, and they're very fast, and they're very vicious. I mean, they eat kids at Disney World, guys.
Yes. Ooh.
They're very quiet. They, like, stalk you.
Oh, yeah.
Also, shark, you can see the fin, at least. Alligator.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes.
And you're more likely to get away from a shark, just because sharks, there's so many ways of, like, disarming them.
And
punching
them in the nose.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. With alligators, it's pretty hard to get that jaw undone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a rational fear.
Did you say a movie? I don't think you
did. Oh, I did, but then I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to say this other film, because I have a fun little announcement of what I'll be doing. So Texas Frightmare Weekend is always Cinco de Mayo weekend in Texas, so, you know, they get a big drunk fest. But, yeah, it's one of the largest horror conventions in the country.
Nice.
And I will be screening Kane Hodder and Gunnar Hint, which is the guy who's played Jason the most times. He is starring in this film called Death House, which is written and directed by B. Harrison Smith, who I've been working with on getting this screening. And then the film itself was actually written by Gunnar Hansen, a.k.a. the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He played Leatherface, for most. And, you know, he died a few years ago, but this was his last script that he wrote.
That's
and so Harrison has taken upon himself to make sure this movie got made, and that's why I've been making sure it's been screened, because it's had a limited release, because it was actually pushed back because Black Panther was doing so well. Mm. So, yeah, I will be screening it at Texas Frightmare Weekend on Sunday from 3 to 5 at the Hyatt Regency, where the convention is held every year. Yeah, I know, I'm telling everybody I'm there, so in case anything gets broken, it wasn't us.
And I believe we have a trailer for that, right?
Yes, yeah, we do have a trailer for
Let
Death
It Roll.
Because it's basically the Expendables of horror.
Oh, yes, please. Film. That sounds awesome.
Federal maximum security
prison. Uh-oh. What dose doesn't live up to what you study?
Ask me again in 12 hours. Some are dosed with just LSD.
Oh, just LSD.
Okay. Yeah.
Ooh, MK Ultra.
Yeah.
All to break down the subject's personality.
Dun-dun-dun.
Okay. Oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
Oh, that dude.
Yeah.
Is to eradicate evil. Did Sieg ever mention Death House to you?
Hmm.
Death House.
Ever any talk?
They said it.
This house is insane.
House I know of that death.
You have to be careful. Yeah.
It's not insane, it's dead. Oh, there he be.
Yeah, see, there's Kane Hodder. And, you know, Adrian Barbeau. They'll both be at the convention. We're hoping they're going to stick around with us.
Oh, what the... Homage to Texas?
Yep.
I know everything.
We gotta find a way up.
Oh, wow.
Greatest cast of horror legends ever.
Yeah, because Tony Todd and Bill Moseley.
That's a log.
Yes, you said Haig, who you keep seeing.
I will follow you to hell.
That's such a fun idea to put them all together in a movie.
That's
a huge cast. Crazy.
I'm glad this is happening.
Yeah.
I'm expecting some very good deaths in this movie.
Yes, oh, yeah. Please.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's Death House.
Fun.
So it's premiering premiering at that festival, right?
No, or? Actually, like, it's had some small releases already, you know, as we say, but we are doing a special screening there at Texas Primary Weekend. Good honor, that's Gunner. Exciting. Yeah.
Hey. And can we find that on VOD already? Or?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, where can I find this?
I know. I must watch. Yeah, because I'm trying to see if they're going to start screening more at Alamo Drafthouse here. I know that they've been working on it. So, yeah, guys, and be sure to, if you'd like a screening in your area, tweet at Death House Movie and at Harrison Smith. You guys, that's how I got a screening. I'm like, that it works. Like, I'm like, hey, that's we cool. want to screen this.
And then you had that Twitter thing. Else ready?
That Twitter game that I have to step up.
Yeah, you're working.
Yeah. This is a little on the fly. Yay! Sorry for that, but
that still counts.
Have you seen this?
No, but I'm familiar with it.
Okay, yeah. My crypt selection is Itchy the Killer from 2001.
Oh, I love that movie.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I haven't seen it in a while, so my memory's a little hazy. I just remember liking it, although I was a little disturbed by it. But but it was really cool.
Maybe that's why you like it.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Yeah. I just like being disturbed, usually. Yeah. okay, so synopsis. As sadomasochist Yakuza enforcer Kakihara searches for his missing boss, he comes across Ichi, a repressed and psychotic killer who may be able to inflict levels of pain that Kakihara has only dreamed of. So he likes the pain.
Oh.
And Ichi loves giving pain.
Oh, wait. It's Ichi, not Ichi.
It's
Ichi. E, because the eyes are I. The eyes are E, so Ichi.
Okay.
Because C-H.
No, literally, I thought you said itchy, like itchy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
like
itchy, my bad.
Itchy the killer.
I was expecting, like, skin. Yeah.
No. Okay.
2001, prepare to scratch yourself to death. No, it's itchy, right? Sorry about that. Yeah, Itchy the killer. It is a little long. It's 2 hours and 9 minutes. It's funny how it's action, comedy, and crime, but I would definitely say it's horror.
I laugh at it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some scenes are very absurd, but overall, I think it's a fantastic film. The way Ichi looks is really cool too. Sorry, excuse my language. he has like a Joker vibe coming on. He has like rings that he puts. His mouth is like split open, and he has rings that he puts on the edge, like where it's split open, and he takes off those rings, and he can open his mouth up even wider.
Oh,
like, there's a scene where like someone punches him, and it goes right into his mouth, and he like bites his hand. It's like kind of that kind of ridiculous.
This is intense.
And what do you expect from Takashi Miike? Like, he does some crazy stuff. Like the guy from Audition. So, and there's also actually I noticed that there's like a manga that's related to this film as well. And I've been meaning to read it because I found it the other day. But yeah, definitely a cool film. Check that one out if you can find it.
I was just looking that up. That reminds me of a character. I'm like, oh, I can't find it. But there's an anime called Kisnaver, or if I pronounced it right. But there's a character in that who enjoys pain and pleasure so much it makes everybody really uncomfortable. And, like, they have weird piercings everywhere. And, like, yeah, it's very, like, I enjoy pain and, oh, let me inflict it on you. And everyone else in the group is like, yeah, no. So
yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, so that was that was my pick, pretty much. And so everyone got their thing in.
any quick news?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's move into a quick news. Sorry, Steve, I did put in interview and then news. But we're doing news right now. So what I wanted to touch on, and that was making the rounds on the interwebs, was the Shape from Halloween has got a new mask, and they revealed it in a picture. And here's like a side by side comparison of like the old one to the most recent one, and I gotta say I dig it.
Yeah,
I like the
good.
Cracks too. There's you know, I there's nothing much more to say. I really enjoy it, and I can't wait for this movie.
It makes sense that the mask is distressed because after all the years, of it being a thing, you know. So I
but it
definitely
looks
like
distressed
it.
In like a cool way. It doesn't look like oh, it's just falling apart.
Every time I look at it, like the song Johnny Cash's "I Hurt Myself," like "I Hurt Myself."
it's "Hurt" by Trent Reznor originally wrote it, but Johnny Cash did a good version of it.
With you,
Sorry, I have to. I'm all over that. Whenever people want to say that's a Johnny Cash song, Johnny Cash did a great cover of that song.
Johnny Cash's cover of.
That was
sip, sip,
but
sorry.
I saw that going around the internet. That does look exciting,
right?
For sure.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the full shape.
I know. Well, I don't know if I want to see a trailer. I just want to see.
When do you guys think we'll get a trailer for this?
I don't know.
I think soon.
It's coming in October, right?
Well, yeah, because you have a lot of false news coming out about reactions, and they're like, we've not had a screening of this movie. So I don't know why, like, we have a lot of people coming out, like, saying it's so bad or whatever, because it hasn't been screened anywhere.
I haven't heard that. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's been a lot of like news coming out about initial reactions. But yeah, they're like, yeah, we haven't even started screenings. But I venture to guess with all this nonsense, they're going to start doing them and then putting out trailers. Yeah. Because, maybe. Yeah.
That happens so often, I feel like, recently, especially with Deadpool 2, New Mutants, all this, like, backlash of, like, oh, the film's going to flop. And so it probably hasn't even had a single screening yet.
Yeah.
It's not even done.
Well, that kind of makes me think and lead into our thing we were going to talk about trailers is, like, something leaking ahead of time of being good. The Venom clip leaked first, and then the trailer went out.
So was the trailer supposed to be out
It was supposed to come with Infinity War.
Okay. Yeah, I feel it came out, like, a little too early. Like, Deadpool, same thing happened. Like, a little bit leaked, and then they're like, okay, never mind, here's that trailer. Because it's just better, like, why ride
just
that
just
wave?
Just lean into it. Yeah, just lean.
Because I saw the clip. Good. First, it was like, did you guys see a picture, or did you see it animated?
I saw the picture.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it animated where the head, like, did it and they said, but the other one was just a picture. But I don't know. Are you guys excited? I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
I'm down for it. Yeah. Yes. Why not?
And I hear that Woody Harrelson's character may turn out to be Carnage, who's, like, my favorite Spider-Man villain. And so I'm pretty excited because I've always wanted just, like, a straight-up Carnage movie. I was like, why do we need Venom? Carnage is cooler. He's just a serial killer who then becomes attracted to the symbiote. So it's like, dude's cool.
Yeah, I just think the trailer, it was a little bit too informative. That was the only thing, like, it was just kind of like, oh, these are the symbiotes. This is an evil organization. And I just feel like, I don't know if it showed too much, but
Maybe it's for people who know nothing?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still looking forward to it for sure. Like, I'm not, like, completely like, I can't wait till it hits theaters. But, like, I don't know. We'll see what Tom Hardy does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of Tom Hardy, so I'm like, I'm down for it.
Yeah, talk about that movie. You're excited about this coming out this weekend.
Yeah, so let's lean into movies pretty much that are coming out and stuff. But this one is like immediately coming out this Friday, and I recommend it to everyone. Like, I want people to go watch this, but I know it's going up against Avengers, so it's not going to do great in the theaters.
We'll probably see it.
Sadly, I know I'm going to try to see it.
I'm really
excited about this movie. There's definitely a lot of hype about it. It's called, the reveal. It's called Ghost Stories, everybody. Ghost Stories.
This looks so good.
Right? With, I believe, Martin Freeman. I always get his freaking name wrong. Yeah, Martin Freeman, Andy Nyman, Paul Whitehouse, Alex Lawther. So this is, I believe, straight out of the UK. And it was dubbed as one of the scariest things of the year coming from the UK thus far. It did premiere at a festival. I just can't remember which one. We did cover it earlier in the year on this show. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've been looking forward to it. It's been on my radar. And it's finally coming out this Friday.
And, so you can see that or Avengers first?
Huh?
Are you going to see Infinity War? Or
Avengers first. He's going to see Anthony, you have got to see Avengers first.
Yeah.
I'm going to see those first. Oh, I don't know when I'm going to see Avengers. I'll watch it somehow. I'm actually going to be in Santa Ana this weekend.
They have theaters.
I know they have theaters. But
I
don't know if I'm going to go watch that movie this weekend. If I can, I will. But this is my priority.
Yeah.
And I think this is only going to be a limited release.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're supporting the little like guy.
I was just going to ask you, because I haven't heard much other than like being on the show.
Yeah.
So I was expecting it's probably a limited release. So
yeah,
I was like,
is it limited?
Yeah, because I was wondering like how am I going to be able to watch this?
Yeah.
A Lemley Theater.
I would say check Fandango because I didn't research it beforehand.
Sure.
But yeah, it's definitely what I'm looking forward to. You guys want to hear the synopsis?
Yeah.
Arch skeptic Professor Philip Goodman, who's played by Martin Freeman. Embarks upon a terror-filled quest when he stumbles across a long-lost file containing details of 3 cases of inexplicable hauntings.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bah, bah, bah.
Sounds great.
And it does sound really interesting. Yeah. Right? And I'm going to be interested, because I think I brought up the point of, like, are they all going to relate to one another, the three cases?
Yeah. I think it's the character of Martin Martin.
Or he'll be the bridge?
Yeah, that he'd be the one that like goes through all of them.
And if they're saying it's one of the scariest films...
Yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be one of those that just makes you feel so uncomfortable that you're just like, oh, I can't stand this film. I don't know, we'll see. I don't want to think about it too much. I just want to go in, watch it, get it done.
I don't even want to watch the trailer. Like, I don't.
Same.
I've seen the trailer and it looks creepy as hell.
Well, if you're excited for a movie and you already know you're interested, how much do you really want to watch the trailer? Because if I'm already excited, I'm like, I'm going to see it anyways. Why do you?
I've been going through that recently too. Like with the Avengers trailer, I was like, I've seen it enough. Like, I already know I'm going to see it. Like, you know, I'm sold. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's the other people that are like, they want to consume every trailer of sound. Yeah. I'm like,
and I'm like, why? Because
they want to analyze it. They want to break it down. They want to start predicting. Yeah. It's like, stop.
They just want those views online.
I was about to say, if you're a content producer, I can see that.
Comment down below. Do you like watching the trailers when you're already excited about a movie?
I know Amy does.
I know she does. Yeah,
her trailer reactions.
But see, you can do one. But then I'm like, okay, I'm good. I don't need to see any more trailers. Be like, did you see the other one? I'm like, no.
There's so many more. Like, there was like 3 Deadpool trailers out. Yeah. Like, I'm like, why?
I was thinking.
The first one was pretty funny, so then that was kind of cool to check that out. And that wasn't really plot either. Mm-hmm. That was just like.
But now I don't want to see anything else. Because I'm gonna end up trying to click on it, and then I'm going to, like, you know, all these scenes, all these things, and I don't want the movie mapped out for me, basically. Mm-hmm. Long story short.
Exactly.
I was thinking of a weird concept for, like, a fun video to do where, like, I do a trailer react, but then, like, someone breaks into my room, and I'm just like, or, like, some weird thing where it's like, oh, I'm doing a trailer reaction, and then just, like, all hell breaks loose, and I'm just, like, trying to fend for my life while the trailer's, like, just playing in the background.
I have an idea for a sketch.
Yay! Yeah. But do it as if you're live streaming.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
That way, that's
do,
why
yeah.
you wouldn't stop it or, like, edit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So people, right. so it's like just like a long take, and I was just like, I just thought it'd be hilarious. And I would love to just freak people out. Like, oh my god, is this happening? Like, I like shocking people. I think it'd be funny.
Do we want to talk about the upcoming ones?
Oh, what was that?
I said we want to talk about some upcoming.
Oh yeah, real quick, because the video is 10 minutes long.
Yeah. So,
what we got? What we got?
Real quick, coming up, some new horror-ish movies. We got Bad Samaritan May 4th. I mean, horror-ish. We're doing broad, you know, ish. You know, drama.
I think Mary Shelley would be.
Mary Shelley would be our first big one. That's May 25th.
Starring Elle Fanning.
Yeah.
Look at that.
So, Lucretia, you said you checked out that trailer as well, right?
I haven't seen
new
the trailer
Mary
yet.
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm down.
I'm really excited for this. I think it premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival, and it's getting pretty good initial press. I mean, and it's Elle Fanning, I believe? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she looks great, because I love Mary Shelley, and, you know, that's what people don't realize, is, like, how much women were involved in sort of the beginning of horror.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really more of a take on her life, not so much the Frankenstein story.
Yeah, I was mentioning, we talked a little bit before this, about there's a film called Gothic from the 80s, and that's more about the night that the book was written. This movie, I like the new Mary Shelley coming out, because this looks a little bit more like her before writing the book, and then the struggle she had of trying to get it published later, because they're like, you're a woman, how could you write this?
Well, yeah, because, like, her husband was Percy Shelley, the poet, mm-hmm. and so that was always an interesting take, is, like, where the direction she went versus he did, and, like, in that movie Gothic, the late Natasha Richardson plays Mary Shelley, mm-hmm. so that's interesting.
Then Future World, kind of, it's Mad Max ripoff. It's like,
I'm down.
No, it's
all right. Whatever.
I'm down. Yeah. It has Mia Jovovich. I'm down.
Ooh, okay.
Now I'm in.
Gotta support my Mia.
Real quick, we can only just like touch on the titles, really.
Yeah.
So what's after that? Upgrade.
Upgrade on June 1st.
With a knockoff Tom Hardy guy.
Oh, that looks so good, though.
I forgot his name.
June 8th, we got Hereditary, which you pointed out. I'm really excited.
Hereditary, yeah.
Hereditary.
Yep. Oh, I can't wait for that
one.
And
that's kind of... Oh, and then The First Purge is July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jurassic World, I guess.
Giant Monsters,
June 22nd.
And then I would say The Meg on August 10th.
Oh, yeah.
Giant Sharks, rawr.
Versus Jason Statham.
Yeah. I hope he punches one in the face.
That's all I want to see. Slender Man, August 24th. So that's leading into our summer.
Right
on. Cool. Lead us into what we're going to watch, and then we send out.
Okay, so, so this is, we're going to be watching our, so now we're just going to roll in our interview, and so I guess we can just talk about it a bit, like our experience there. So, yeah, this couple is so cool. They're so rad. I love their little, their shop that they had in Burbank, I believe. Mm-hmm. Right? Burbank, yeah.
Yeah.
We hit it up on 2 Saturdays ago, I believe. Yeah. And yeah, we just took our equipment and we just shot this quick interview. Well, not quick. It's 10 minutes long, but we shot this interview, edited it down, and
super excited.
Yeah, I was super. It was really fun. I was also very nervous because I was just like, and he helped me out with like some like setting up like the mic and everything because I was like, how do I set up the mic? He's like, C stand, boom. I'm like, yes, thank you.
Nice. They're professionals.
Yeah, they yes. got equipment and stuff. But yeah, do you want to say anything?
No.
No?
I just want to watch it.
All right, so yeah, so we're actually going to end the show on this. So we're not going to do any outros after the video. So we're going to pretty much do our outros right now. So anything you guys want to promote before we go? No, and then where they can find you, pretty much.
All right. Since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And if you like me, you may want to subscribe to my podcast, Mrs. Brightside. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Podbean.
Nice.
New episodes every Tuesday, like this week, is the Bright Side of Professional Wrestling Fandom with Steve Kaufman, who you guys will probably recognize. And then I also have my own horror show. It's called The Red Room. It's your horror news source. New episodes come out in podcast form on those same platforms, as well as a YouTube channel, The Red Room, your horror news source. Just be sure to find that. New episodes every Thursday. Like this week, I may have a special guest co-host filling in.
Ayo.
We'll just have to see. Yeah.
Right on.
Hey guys, I'm Oliver Jen. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer, and check me out on Sundays for the RuPaul's Drag Race After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
My name's Carrie Lane. You guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And tune in after this at 6 p.m. for the anime after show. We're talking about Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Woo. Yes, and I saw the episodes.
Yeah.
Yay!
Real quick, I just want to say thank you so much to Josh and Sierra Russell.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you so much for letting us come over and just... pretty much, we're like kids in a candy shop. We're just like, oh my god, look at all this cool stuff.
Never experienced something like that, so it was really cool. And thank you again for letting us be a... visiting.
Yeah, and they recently worked on the film Low Life, and also one that's coming out on Shudder called Sequence Break, I believe. And they do mention that in the trailer, and I added a little clip about that too. And thank you all so much for joining. The show's not over, but we are not going to be on it right now. It's going to be our past selves of Ollie and I. So yeah, please enjoy this interview.
Where can they find you?
Oh yeah, where can they find me? Yep. Yeah, my name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_TONY, the letter B, TONY _. All right, now let it roll.
Fans, I'm Oliver Jenin with the Popcorn Talk Network, representing horror movie news, and I'm joined by a very special dynamic duo. We're here at Russell FX. So, why don't you introduce yourselves to the camera?
I'm Sierra Russell of Russell FX.
Josh Russell.
Yes, thank you guys so much for allowing Horror Movie News to come and talk with you guys, learn about you, and share your knowledge and your expertise in the horror genre. Thank you again. We're here at Burbank, California. I am just in awe of this work you guys have done. It's crazy.
Thanks.
So I was reading about you guys, and you guys hit it off when you were working, like, together. Were you teens? Were you young adults? How was that? What was the chemistry that brought you guys together?
We met in 2011, and both of us at the time were working for Studio ADI. Those are the guys that did, like, most of the Alien franchise, Tremors, The Thing, prequel, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, they just did It.
Yeah. So they were, like, childhood heroes of mine, and I got the chance to work for them for a couple of projects, and then she showed up in the middle of those to come in and intern. It was just something she'd been interested in, and I hated her and fought a lot.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I did. I thought he hated me. I was like, hey, how's it going? And he'd just be like,
whatever.
Whatever. I was like, great. But then we actually got stuck on a project. We had to work together, and then, you know, we made each other laugh, like, way too much, and then we got married 3 months later.
Come on, let's go. Gala ceremony.
You guys seem to have really good chemistry together. Has there been a very, like, a project that's been very special for you guys to work on together that's been not only awesome, but just very, like, it near and dear to your heart?
I mean, it's kind of everyone always kind of tends to be kind of near and dear. As long as we have, like, a creative ability, as long as we're kind of open and directors just say, give me give me what you got kind of thing, and we can do something creative together that we've never done. Those are always the ones that kind of stand out. And I don't know, I was going to say Southbound Bruckner's thing that really, like, blew people away, and we were really excited. Yeah, we were really excited because the one thing that Dave said was, I don't want to hide anything, like, under the table. I don't want a sheet hiding. I want to see under the table. I want to see it all around. And we were like, great.
Speaking of the effect where, I don't know if you guys have seen Southbound, but it's been out for a long time, so.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, whatever. But the surgery scene where the protagonist is cutting the girl open and putting his hand inside of her was, like, a particular magic trick that had to be designed. And that's what she's referring to, is like seeing underneath the gurney that she's lying on. We didn't want to hide the body inside the table like had been done in so many things. So yeah, that was like a lot of creative energy that we got to use up there and collaborate with Dave Bruckner for the first time, which of course led to like the ritual and anything that might come later.
Yeah. Speaking of which, how did the creature design come about? Were you kind of more of a, because you guys were the supervisors, but did you get to kind of create it from yourselves, or did you have help, or was it just a huge collaborative effort?
Well, they had hired this designer, Keith Thompson, that had been, like, working on a lot of Guillermo del Toro projects and things like that, and he just had, like, a great aesthetic. But I don't think he had had the chance yet to head up his own design process for a film. Dave really loved his work, and they hired him, and it kind of went through a process of, since the source material doesn't have a lot of description of what the beast was, it was sort of a blank canvas that Keith got to just sort of throw out a handful of, like, completely different designs. Like, what do you want your Norse forest god to look like? There was one that sticks out that looked kind of like a tree made out of elk legs, and just, like, as far as the imagination could take him. Yeah. But then when he got roughly close to the design ended up being, everyone was so taken aback by it. It was like something that had never been seen before.
Yeah.
Dave fell in love with it. We loved it. And the process, like, he pretty much nailed it with that design. And we just had, like, some tweaks back and forth about how big it was, scaling, some small things about how it was going to work practically on set. It was, like, full collaboration circle between production, designer, and us implementing the stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, that was definitely something that, like, me and the rest of the panel, Anthony, we were not expecting it to be this crazy, like, deer, demon, god. And it was so cool to see. And to know that it was also practical, it was cool as a horror movie fan. And can you explain the practical effects that you guys did with it?
Sure. So we built the head of the creature full size. That was sort of like a loose version of a creature suit. A stunt person actually fits inside of it and has their arms coming out the front.
Wow.
And then they were wearing, like, the monster hand gloves so that we could put them on a crane rig and have them interacting with the actors. When you see it pushing Rafe Spall's character to the ground, forcing him to pray, when it's holding Sam Troughton by his face and traveling into the tree, that's all, like, it was necessary to have the practical elements there on set so people could see what they were interacting with and dealing with. And then there were a lot of instances where we would just put the thing in the frame for lighting reference, so that would be replaced with CG later, but they had, like, very real, perfect, practical version of it in the light that in the space that it needed to be. So when they did a 3D rendering of it, it was, like, in my opinion, it's Jurassic Park quality work. The CG blends so perfectly with the rest of the practical elements.
We're also joined by Anthony Becerra. Do you have any questions, Anthony, for our lovely guests?
Yeah, I'm lead host of Horror Movie News. And so, yeah, you touched on a topic that's very dear to my heart. Personally, I think one of the best films that has and utilizes practical effects is The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing from 1982, I believe, which also happens to be my all-time favorite horror movie.
Sure, man.
And yeah, my God, that's so okay. Okay, we gotta get close up with that. yeah, that's pretty much like what inspired me to love horror movies. I remember watching as a kid. I was just like, I know I was a kid, but I was watching as a kid, and I was like, this is so awesome. Like, and then so far, nothing's been able to like really top that. Like the effects of the creature and everything, and it's just I have such a deep appreciation for practical effects because of that movie. And now I just want to ask you, is there a movie for you guys that like really you draw inspiration for, like every time you see it you're like, damn, I want to go into the like warehouse and like knock something out real quick? Or like, is there any specific film or
from
creature?
That one,
I know, right? Yeah. Or is that just like the be all? Like,
that's a crazy one. You know, like one of the most important films for me getting into this was the Ninja Turtles movie, the original 1991.
Yeah,
seeing those Jim Henson animatronic turtles emote, yeah, become alive on screen, like in a believable way, it was like something I could never get out of my head.
That's a really good question. That's always hard, especially because you already said The Thing.
So, or you can just like start naming some off as well.
I mean, that is like the ultimate. But then, transformation-wise, of course, American Werewolf from London.
Ooh, yeah.
Is always good. But actually, it was Day of the Dead, mm-hmm, for me when I saw that. I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. Like, I always knew I wanted to be an artist since I knew I was alive, and Day of the Dead, I was just like, oh, great. So I'll just figure out how to do that.
Damn, that's awesome. Is there anything you'd like to like leave our audience with? Just like a nice message or anything to take away from all of this in your shop and everything?
Go watch Low Life.
Amigos, bienvenidos al infierno.
The baby's coming!
It's in theaters now.
Yeah, anything you want to plug would be
we gotta sequence
break.
Sequence
is
break.
Coming out on Shudder very soon. Yeah, Grim Skipper's movie.
Break the sequence. Be the man I could never be.
What's a nice closing message?
I don't know, darling.
I know, it's a little
hard. No, I got nothing. Just make horror movies.
Yeah, and let us make creatures. I don't know.
Yeah, and use practical effects, everybody. Practical effects, everybody. Boom. Done.
Is that it?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.